Podcasts are small businesses. When we're talking to business owners, we get it 100%. Our team is tiny. Every single hire needs to fit just right. That's why we're telling you about Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Agent Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Your calendar is so important. It's the ultimate record where you put your priorities and where you spend your time. It is also one of the productivity tools we use the most, so any improvement to the way you use your calendar will have an immediate impact every single day. There aren't that many productivity changes you can make that will do that. So, in this episode, we're going to share 5 calendar hacks that will help you maximize your time, energy, and attention while using your calendar on desktop and on mobile. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/338. And now, on with the show. We are back for another episode of TPS, The Productivity Show, the number one podcast on iTunes when it comes to time management, productivity, and efficiency. And my name is Tam Pham. I'm the founder and CEO of Agent Efficiency and the co-host of the show. And I have my co-host, Brooks Duncan, here as well today. How are you today, Brooks?
I'm great. It's a rare sunny day in Vancouver, so I will take it.
Yeah, I'm super excited for today's weather here in Austin, Texas as well. It's super sunny while it's like dead winter here, but I'm very fortunate to be living a little closer to the equator than you are. And today's episode is all about calendar hacks. You and I both use calendars, and at Agent Efficiency, we're obsessed about helping people become more productive at work and in life. And this is one of those tools that we recommend everyone should be using. And if you are using this tool, we're going to show you some ways to maximize it even further. And some of the things are going to be so easy, you wish you would knew these things a little earlier because it would save you so much time and headache. So before we start diving into today's topic, we always like to kick things off with some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. And sometimes they're related to the topic, sometimes they're not. But I think today's are especially relevant. So Brooks, in 90 seconds or less, can you share some of our favorite resources?
2 of 3 are relevant anyway, so I will kick it off. So my number one resource is an app called Woven. So this is a calendar app that brings together calendaring, scheduling, and on the sidebar, it gives you insights to how you work. So it's a great app, Mac, Windows, and mobile that I haven't switched to full time, but I played with a little bit. We have a course about it in the dojo, and I'm definitely keeping an eye on Woven. That's number one. Number two is everytimezone.com, which is a website that lets you quickly create a link to an event and choose the time zone that the event's going to happen. And then the person who clicks the link will be able to see what time it is in their time zone, and then you can translate it and stuff like that. It's a really easy way to solve the problem of people getting time zones mixed up. And then number three is a game that I have been playing a lot with my family lately called Monopoly Deal. So I think we're all familiar with Monopoly. Monopoly Deal is a card game. It's really fast paced. Games only take like 15 minutes. My family has been playing it a lot lately, which if you played the game knows we're barely speaking to each other because it can get pretty competitive, but it's a very fun game. And like I said, it's fast and quick. So if you're at the time of listening to this, if you're maybe in another lockdown or something like that, this can be a great way to spend time with the people you might be around with. So that's Monopoly Deal. And those are my top three resources.
Awesome. We will have links to all of these in the show notes, which you can also check out at theproductivityshow.com/338. Or if you're listening to us in an app, just swipe. You'll see the links in there as well. So today's topic is all about calendar hacks. And for those of you who are using calendars, if you are using your calendar with the default settings, and you've never spent any time figuring out, like looking into the settings, trying to maximize it, I think this episode is going to be really powerful for you today. We're going to be showing you some of our favorite tweaks and settings that will help you maximize your use of your calendar. Also, if you've been using the calendar for years and years, but you still find it frustrating or very time consuming, and you, maybe you're not as excited about using your calendar and it's kind of like a necessary evil in your case, I think there's going to be some tips and tricks here that I think will change your mind about how you use your calendar going forward that I think will maximize your time, energy, and attention. And whether you use Outlook, Google Calendar, or another calendar app, all these tips and strategies we're going to be sharing with you here today are going to be relevant to all of them. So it doesn't matter which platform or app you use, I think you're going to be learning something here today as well. So speaking of apps and services, Brooks, what is kind of like your backend system tech stack here before we start diving into the tips and tricks here?
Yeah, so for myself, I generally use Google Calendar. That is my backend. Sometimes I think about switching over to iCloud since most of my devices are Apple, but I haven't done that. I've used Google Calendar for years and years and years. I am pretty all in on Fantastical these days, at least on my Apple devices. So Fantastical is a calendar app. I use it on my Mac. I use it on my iOS devices, and I really, really like it. I mentioned I'm tempted by Woven, but I'm still really into Fantastical. Now on Windows, it's a different story. I use Outlook and then Office 365. And so I also have that on my Mac, of course, and my mobile device as well. But on Windows, I'm really into Outlook and Office 365.
I'm a very similar person in that sense. So I have Google Calendar as my backend. This is the sort of calendar platform that I use for syncing all the information and where all the stuff is stored. And then as kind of like a wrapper or a layer on top of that would be Fantastical for me on the iPhone. And then also Fantastical on the desktop, but I also use BusyCal as well. That's my app of choice for the last, 6, 7, 8 years now. But I will say, just like you, I've been enamored by Fantastical. I think it's getting better every few months. They're always updating and making tweaks and really making it easy for people to like hop on a Zoom call together or like all these little nifty things that used to only be available on BusyCal are now also available on Fantastical. So for example, one of the power features of BusyCal was always that you could change your week view to say, hey, in a week view, instead of seeing 7 days, you can change it to 14 days or 10 days or whatever you want to set it to. That was only a feature that BusyCal used to have, but now Fantastical has that as well, plus tons of other features. So I'm slowly moving towards Fantastical, but I still have a love for BusyCal because it's just the OG app that I've been using for so many years. But speaking of productivity tools, we actually have an episode next week coming out. And the whole idea of that episode is all about if we only had $100 to spend on productivity tools, what would we spend it on? And I'm really excited about that episode coming out next week. But I have another controversial question for you, Brooks. I'm always enamored by this. Do you start your week on Sunday, Monday, or another day?
Yeah, I was always a Sunday starter just because it was the default in pretty much every calendar app and I never even thought to changing it. A while ago, maybe a year ago or so, I came across a tip that said switch all your calendars to start on Monday because that just makes more sense with the way we work. So I made that switch and now I am a Monday evangelist. So all my calendar apps and my family calendar that I have up on the wall all starts on Monday because that just makes more sense to me. How about you? Are you a Sunday starter or a Monday starter?
No, I'm definitely a Monday starter. I don't understand why people start on Sundays. I think it's a European thing where everything, at least where I grew up in the Netherlands, everything starts on a Monday. And then when I moved to the States, you would see calendars starting on Sunday. And I go, wait, what? This makes no sense. Like, why are things starting on a Sunday over here? So I think it's a very US-centric thing, or maybe even North America. But I've never seen that elsewhere. Even living around Asia, I've never seen it really start on a Sunday. So definitely on a Monday. I mean, if your calendar is starting on a Sunday, and I think we can be friends because it doesn't make any sense. It would just confuse things so much. So including my New Year calendar, I have in the background that also specified on a Monday because you can actually pick different versions as well to start on a Sunday or a Monday. So it's just like one of those rare things. I just don't get it if you start on a Sunday, but different topic altogether. So we're going to be talking about calendar hacks. And when we talk about calendar hacks, what we're really talking about are just like little tips and tricks that you can use to make your calendar experience a little bit more fun, a little bit more efficient. So we're not going to be talking about like a whole calendar system or like a different methodology of using a calendar. We've done tons of episodes in the past about that. So if you want to check those out, I highly recommend checking out TPS 306, which is all about mastering your calendar. We kind of talk about that. So if you go to theproductivityshow.com/306, you can check out that episode. In episode 233, we talk about the hybrid calendar system. So this is all about how to use a digital calendar with a paper calendar or a wall calendar and how to use that together. So if you're someone who likes to use a wall calendar and a paper calendar together, like how do you integrate both of them? What are some best practices around that? You want to make sure you check out that episode. And if you're someone, which I'm going to guess most people are, if you're someone who has family members, right? So maybe you have a significant other and you have some kids, maybe you have a family calendar or you don't have a family calendar yet and you want to introduce one or you like the idea, be sure to check out episode 235. So go to theproductivityshow.com/235. And we'll have links to all of them in the show notes as well. So again, we're not going to be talking about a system here per se, just some practical tips to make sure that you use your calendar more efficiently and effectively, whether it's on desktop or mobile, okay? So we have five of them here today. And before we get started, I wanna give a special shout out to everyone who is a TPS Plus subscriber. So we have an upgraded version of the podcast where episodes come out a week earlier, and also you get them ad-free, and we have bonus audio podcasts and courses in there as well. So if you become a member of TPS Plus, then you get all of our stuff a little earlier, plus some extra bonus materials. So it's only for the hardcore fans of the Productivity Show listeners. So if you're one of those people and you want to join the community, be sure to go to theproductivityshow.com/plus, and you'll be able to get one of our cool t-shirts that says one tweak a week, which is all about Kaizen, continuous improvement. So thank you everyone who signed up so far already. So Brooks, let's start with the first calendar hack here. What do we got in store for us?
All right. Tip number one is actually one that we did talk about on that episode, TPS 306, Master Your Calendars. But I felt like, or we felt like it was so fundamental, we wanted to mention it again. And that is tip number one is to color code your calendars. And in some cases, even color code your events. For most people, they just have one calendar, maybe one work calendar and one personal calendar. We actually recommend expanding that a little bit. Some people go to extremes and have tons of calendars. If that's how you want to manage it, that's totally great. But we recommend at least creating different calendars for different parts of your life and your work. And almost every calendaring system and app supports some flavor of this. And the reason for this is it lets you differentiate different areas of your life. You can see visually where you're out of balance. If your day is, or your week is full of, and especially your month is full of events that are a certain color, you know that maybe your balance is a little out and maybe you need to compensate a little bit. And it also lets you focus on specific areas. If you want to just focus on your work stuff and not get distracted by other things happening, or if you really want to focus in on your focus blocks, or on the flip side, if you're at home on the weekend, speaking of starting your day on Monday, if you're at home on the weekend, you can turn off your work calendars so you just see your personal stuff and you don't get distracted. There's all sorts of benefits to having different calendars for different purposes, and then also color coding them so you can kind of see them visually. Now, Tan, you had a tip for ways you can differentiate actual calendar events that you have on your calendar that don't use colors necessarily. And this is something I had never thought of it till you told it to me. So maybe you can share your tip for ways you differentiate things on your calendar.
Yeah. So before I kind of discovered this tip, the way I would use kind of like separate calendars would be, okay, I have an Asian efficiency calendar, which is green. Then I have a personal calendar that's blue. I have like a travel calendar that's red. So I could kind of differentiate and see what's going on and where. And especially with Fantastical, you can kind of switch between calendars and have different calendar sets. And then with a bunch of keyword shortcuts, you could say with calendar one, I want to be able to see just work stuff. With calendar two, I want to see my personal life stuff. With calendar three, I want to see work and personal stuff. So you can quickly switch around, which has been very helpful for certain things. And if you are someone with family and kids and you integrate tons of different calendars, I think this is really useful to have. So this is where I think Fantastical really shines. However, one of the things, since my calendar setup is relatively easy, it's kind of like work and personal, and that's about it. One of the things I found to be extremely helpful, and this is something I learned from another friend of mine, Charles, is to use symbols or emojis as a prefix for your calendar names. So to give an example, whenever I'm recording a podcast, whether it's for TPS or for another episode on someone else's podcast, I will have that microphone emoji at the beginning of the name of the event on my calendar. So we'll have that, you know, kind of like that microphone emoji there. And I will put it at the end as well. So it's kind of like microphone emoji appearing on so-and-so podcast microphone emoji, right? So that way I know it's just an audio only thing. Now, if I will also appear on video, and it could be a podcast, it could be a video interview, it could be something else, then I will put like a camera emoji at the beginning and also at the end as well. So then I know, okay, for that particular event, I need to be presentable. So I can't just show up in my work from home gear or my sweatpants or pajamas. I actually have to look presentable, maybe shave even, right? Do my hair and that kind of thing. So I know that in advance, so I don't like scramble at the last minute because I know for that particular event, I need to be on camera. So that's something that is really easy that you can implement right away, right? And this, I find, eliminates almost the use of having color-coded calendars, right? So the big idea here still applies, like having different sets of calendars, but you can differentiate it in different ways. So you can have color coding, which is something that I think everyone can do. But also, if for some reason your calendar app doesn't support that, start using symbols or emojis, right? So if I'm working out, I have like that guy that lives that bar as an emoji there, so I can kind of quickly see what's going on at that particular time as well. And so, for example, if I have my personal assistant coming over to my place, I have like a star associated with that, so I know like, okay, this is time to get stuff done here. I don't do that for every single thing, just for a few things. And so if you can kind of make your own like legenda almost in a way of like, this is what this means for my personal life, you'll be able to look at your calendar quickly, see like, oh, I got a bunch of microphones, a bunch of cameras, a bunch of stars. Okay, cool. I kind of know what to expect this upcoming week.
Podcasts are small businesses. When we're talking to business owners, we get it 100%. And when it comes to hiring, every single hire needs to fit just right. Our team is tiny. One wrong move could cause us tons of problems. We've been there, we've made those mistakes, and that's why we're telling you about Indeed. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly so you can do the part that you really need faster, which is meeting and hiring great people. That's what it's all about. Unlike some hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. With Indeed, there are no long-term contracts, you can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. With Instant Match, you'll see a list of great candidates with zero wait, and Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So, want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. This is Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/TPS. Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. We record these episodes live in front of our dojo, which is our online community, and TPS Plus members, they participate in the live stream. And you had mentioned calendar sets, which is a feature of Fantastical. These tips we're going to be talking about today are not app specific, but I did want to like highlight the calendar set thing that you said earlier, because it's getting a lot of love and discussion in the live stream chat. Yoke says that managing 3 kids' schedules now with lockdown in this past year, the calendar sets feature, and this is great in Fantastical, but you can do similar things a bit more manually by turning on and off calendars. But she says she can say her day, the kids' days, and all mashed together just with some keyboard shortcuts, and it really makes it easy to see what's going on. So that's a feature that has gotten a lot of love. For myself, I have a personal calendar, which is red. I have a family calendar, which is purple. I don't know why, it just is. My AE calendar is orange for the AE brand colors. And then I have a planning calendar, which is green. So those are generally the calendars that I use. And it's nice having it differentiated and color-coded to make it really easy to focus as we go through. All right, so that's tip number one, which is color code your calendars. So now let's move on to tip number two, which is using a widget on your mobile home screen. So if you use your calendar on your mobile device, which I think many of us do, both iOS and Android have built-in calendars, and there are lots of calendar apps out there. But if you use widgets on Android, and if you are an iOS user, starting with iOS 14 is when this becomes really valuable, you actually don't even need to have a calendar app on your home screen. You need to have it installed, but you don't even need to have it on your home screen, because you can make it fast and easy to see what you have coming up right on your home screen with widgets. So this is something that I've just started doing maybe in the last month or something like that. I finally decided my kids actually were annoyed that I wasn't using widgets. So I started playing around with it, and it's actually become really, really handy. On Android, Outlook and Google Calendar both have built-in home screen widgets, or there's lots of course, third-party apps and widgets you can install. On iOS, the built-in calendar app has a home screen widget, and third-party calendars like Outlook, Google Calendar, and Fantastical, which we've mentioned before, they all have home screen widgets as well. So Tan, what do you do? First of all, do you use widgets? No, question number one. And number two, if you do, what widgets are you running for your calendar anyway?
Yeah, so on my home screen, I'm just pulling up my iPhone now. I have a widget on the main home screen there. So there's one for Carrot, which is my favorite weather app, but then also for Fantastical. So it kind of shows me what's coming up or what's active right now on my calendar. And I found that really helpful just because just by looking at it, I can kind of see like, oh, like this is what's coming up relatively soon. So I don't have to like open up my calendar app to kind of see what's coming up or wait for my reminder to appear to kind of have an idea. Even though I look at my calendar every single morning, like sometimes I'm just going 100 miles an hour and I just don't really think about what's coming up. So having that widget overview is really helpful, especially if you set it to the setting where it shows you what's going on right now or what's coming up. So there's different settings that you can set. And then I have a different home screen. If I swipe all the way to the right before you have that collection or the app library, that is specifically for travel. So if you're someone who travels a lot, I have like the Carrot weather app, the date using Fantastical, but it's like a really tiny widget that just shows the date that is today. And then I have like a TripIt widget that's there. And then the different time zones using the clock widget. I have like different time zones of where things are at. So I know like what the time is in Austin, where I am, time in Amsterdam, where I have like, you know, friends and family in LA and different parts of the world. And so whenever I'm in travel mode, that's the default home screen that I have. So I can kind of know what's going on all over the place. And so if you're not using a widget yet, or you're like, oh my gosh, Brooks and Tan, I have no idea what you're talking about, I don't blame you. This is a relatively new feature, especially if you're using the iPhone. So look up iOS 14 widgets and just watch a YouTube video about it. I think that's the best way to kind of get it. Yes, you can read a blog post about it, but I think a YouTube video is a little bit more easier to understand. And once you see it, you'll just go, oh, okay, I get it now. And then refer back to this section of the podcast and add the calendar widget to your home screen. And it will change the way you use your calendar going forward.
Yeah, for Android users, they're probably laughing at this because Android has had the concept of home screen widgets for years and years and years. Like you said, with iOS 14, it's really added the ability to have it on the home screen. Mine's pretty similar. Right now, as far as productivity widgets go, I just have the two. So I have a stack at the top of my home screen that has Fantastical, which we mentioned, and Carrot Weather, which is like, same for me, is my favorite weather app. I'm just reading through the live screen. A number of people have widgets as well. So Joel has his second screen with different calendar views. So that's a great way to do it. You could have like a calendar screen made of widgets. That's a great idea. And Matt has Fantastical, Tick Tick, Carrot, and Batteries in one stack too. So that's a great suggestion as well. All right. So tip number two was to use a widget on your mobile home screen. We'll move on to tip number three, which is to use an appointment scheduler. So here's what we mean by that. there's just nothing less productive than emailing back and forth with somebody trying to organize a meeting time. I went through this just recently related to a speaking thing, and they proposed a bunch of times, and then I had to like go back and forth. And I was just thinking, oh man, why don't you guys use an appointment scheduler? It would be so much more productive. And this is especially true if you're trying to organize something with multiple people. You know, forget it. You might as well just throw your phone in the ocean, because trying to organize a meeting with multiple people and find a time that works for everyone is just super unproductive. So appointment schedulers are services and in some cases features that let somebody book an appointment with you by seeing what times you have available so they can find something that matches up with yours. And then once they book, it goes on your calendar and then they get a calendar invite as well. They can't see what's on your calendar. It's not like you're letting some stranger see your calendar. It's not like that, but they can only see what times that you have allowed to set open. And also if you happen to have meetings that fall into that time, then they won't be able to double book. So this is really great because then you can specify certain days and times of the week that you're open for meetings. And so you can control your schedule. You can firewall off some focus time and say, nobody can book meetings with me Thursday afternoons or something like that. And it also lets you have a buffer between meetings. So you can say that nobody can book a meeting with me within, say, an hour of a previous meeting or half an hour or whatever you want that setting to be. And you can even do things like set maximum number of meetings. So you can say nobody can book more than three meetings with me in one given day. All sorts of permutations like that. Lots of apps that do this. Calendly and Schedule Once are probably the most popular one. And Doodle is a really popular one for trying to get a group of people to find common times. That is a really good app for finding that common time. Different apps also have this feature built in. So Woven that I mentioned earlier does have this type of feature built in, and Fantastical does as well. Those are Apple only, unfortunately, but Calendly, Schedule Once, Doodle, those are all web-based so that you can do those on any platform. Tan, I know you are a big believer in this feature. What do you use for scheduling appointment schedulers, and how do you use it?
Yeah, I've been using these things for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years now. It's been a long time. I've been using Schedule Once for about four years. And in the last 2 years, I switched over to Calendly. Calendly is simpler to use. And Schedule Once is kind of like a powerhouse tool, which has tons of features, but it can get really complicated very quickly. So that's why I switched over to Calendly, because I just need very basic features for this. So even if you are someone who books a lot of meetings, but you just need quick integrations set up, I think Calendly is the way to go. One of the features that I like that is that it integrates with Zoom. So when someone books a meeting with me through my Calendly link, since it's integrated with Zoom, it will automatically create a Zoom meeting and add that URL to the Calendly, like, or a calendar event, essentially. And so that way there's no setup needed that needs to be done separately, right? So if in the past, if we didn't have that integration, if you booked a meeting with me, Brooks, then I would tell you, say, hey, oh, let's meet on this Zoom link here, right? And I would have to create a custom meeting or something, or I use my personal Zoom link. But now, since it's all integrated, every time someone books something with me, it will create its own Zoom link and Zoom room. So that way we have our own privacy. There's no one else coming in. And it's all kind of like set up, and it makes it really easy for people to reschedule stuff as well. So it's such a huge time saver that I have a text expander snippet for it. So if someone wants to schedule a meeting with me, I have a quick text expander snippet. You know, I just type in colon SCH, which is kind of like short for schedule, and it will just pop it up. And then since I have like multiple times, I can have like people book a meeting with me for 15 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 60 minutes, for 2 hours. By default, it's kind of like as a pop-up, it has the pull-down window selected at 60 minutes or 30 minutes, I should say. And if I just press enter, it will just insert that URL. But if I want someone to schedule meeting me for only 15 minutes, I'll just change the pull-down menu to 15 and then press enter. So it's a little bit more advanced, but if you're someone who knows how to use Text Expander, I would highly recommend checking out how you can integrate it with Calendly in that sense.
Alice in the live stream says that we're reminding her to set a better default gap between meetings. She uses schedule once, which we talked about, and right now has a 15-minute buffer, and it's just not enough, especially in this Zoom world we live in. So yeah, this is an underused feature, I think, of these type of tools, is to set those buffers around and get firewall some time around your meetings if you're able to, in order to better support your focus, your recovery time, and just at least giving you some time to grab some water. All right, so that's tip number three, use an appointment scheduler. Tip number four is to customize your visible days. So what we mean by that is most calendar apps default to a few views. You know, you got a daily view, you got a weekly view, you got a monthly view. Sometimes some calendar apps have different variations on that. You might have more or less, but those are basically the default views that a lot of these apps have. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're able to, why be limited to that? Many calendar apps and services let you customize that view to get a better view of your schedule. So you might want to have like a 2-day view or a 3-day view to be able to see what's coming up that you need to prepare for. Or you may want to have like an 8-day view so that you can see the next week, including the current day that you're on right now. So you're on Monday right now, let's say, and you want to be able to see next Monday as well. Or you might want to be able to see like a 14-day view, a 2-week view all at once, so you can get a more high-level view of what you have coming up for planning. And a lot of calendar apps support this, but I think most of us just stick with the daily, weekly, monthly. So on Windows Outlook, if you want to do this, you can highlight the days you want to show. I don't think you can save this view. Please correct us if I'm incorrect, but whatever view you want, you can just highlight the days and it will show it in the window. In Google Calendar, in View Options, there's like a custom view dropdown, and you can choose what time period you want for that view. So you've got daily, weekly, monthly, and then a custom view, and you can set that to pretty much whatever you want. And then all sorts of different calendar apps implement this differently. I personally, in Fantastical, I have my week set to 8 days so I can see the next week of the similar day. How about you, Tan? Do you use any of these type of features, or are you just a straight day, week, month guy?
No, I definitely love this feature. This is one of the reasons I started using BusyCal over all the other calendar apps many years ago, because BusyCal was, I believe, the first app that allowed you to do this. So it made planning a little easier. So I started off by setting it to 10 days for a week view. And so if I was in planning mode, I would be able to see 10 days ahead what was coming up and kind of get an idea of like how to plan my week, what's coming up, how to anticipate certain things. But now I think most apps kind of copy that feature now, so you can kind of use this in most apps now. And so if you're someone who has never considered changing this, I would encourage you to try to experiment with this. Maybe change it to 8 days, maybe change it to 10 days, even 14 days. It just depends how far you have to look ahead. If you're someone who loves to plan and strategize, I think 10 or 14 days would be really useful, especially if you're doing like a lot of trip planning or anything like that, or you have to be very flexible around a lot of different things. I think that's a really useful planning view to have for yourself.
All right. So that is tip number four, customize your visible days. Tip number five is to change the default meeting length. A lot of these tips you're probably noticing are changing defaults that a lot of us just live with because that's how it was when we started using the app, so we never bothered to change it. This is an example of that, and we really recommend that you look at the default meeting length, because most calendar apps, not all, but most calendar apps, for example, have a default meeting length of an hour. So what happens? You get a bunch of hour-long meetings on your schedule, or other people book a lot of hour-long meetings that don't necessarily need to be that length. So many services and apps let you change that default. Most meetings don't need to be an hour, but they are just because that's what it was set to. And then guess what happens? We all sit there for an hour in these meetings that never really needed to be that length at the beginning. So depending on the service you use, there's different ways to do that. In Google Calendar, you go to settings and then event settings. I think the default is 60 minutes for that, but you can change it to like 30 minutes, let's say. Windows on Outlook, you can go to file options, calendar options, and you can tweak the setting there. Actually, Outlook on Windows, any Outlook user who uses the Mac will know that Outlook on Windows has way more features than the Mac version, unfortunately. And this is an example of that. Outlook on Windows has this cool feature where you can, it's just a checkbox, and it will set it to end meetings early. So anytime you're booking a half an hour meeting, it will make it only 25 minutes. Or if you're booking an hour meeting, it will end it 10 minutes early. And it does this as a way to kind of promote the concept of having buffer time between meetings. So that's a cool feature of Windows Outlook. However you want to do it though, really recommend you don't just take that 60-minute default, if that's what your app has, and see if you can tweak it. How about you, Tan? Have you ever changed that setting?
Yeah, mine is set to 30 minutes. And I think the best analogy I like to give related to this is, you know how in dieting or weight loss, they always talk about portion control, right? So they have all these like examples of, if you just change your plating to have smaller plates, then you end up eating way less compared to if you have a big plate, you just end up like filling up the plate to its fullest potential. And then as a result, you end up eating more calories. This is kind of like the same idea. If you just minimize every single meeting from 60 to 30, you'll start to notice that one, you'll have shorter meetings as a result. And oftentimes those meetings end up being a little bit more productive because you only have 30 minutes together. And oftentimes that's all you need for most things. I find nowadays, the only time I have 60-minute meetings with people is because we're recording something like a podcast or whatever. But other than that, most things can be done in 30 minutes, especially if you're someone who gets really good at setting an agenda or co-creating an agenda with someone at the beginning of the meeting so that you know, hey, if we hit this, you know, mark, then we know we're done with our meeting. So we could do a whole separate, you know, podcast episode on meetings altogether, but highly encourage everyone to change their default setting to at least, I would say, 30 minutes from the 60.
All right. So those are our five tips, our five calendar hacks. Number one, color code your calendars. Number two, use a widget on your mobile home screen. Number three, use an appointment scheduler. Number four, customize your visible days. And number five, change your default meeting length. Now, we did have one bonus tip that we wanted to slide in here at the end. It's not really a calendar hack. It's a little different, so we didn't want to include it in part of the five tips. It's more of a calendar practice, but we definitely wanted to mention this because this is a great calendar habit to get into. And that is to review your past calendar every month. So what we mean by this is, this episode is coming out early in the new year, of course. We're doing this at the start of the year. And so this is a really good time to build this habit. So after a month ends, so in February, if you're looking back on January, if in March, looking back on February, take a bit of time. It really does not have to be long, just to look back at your calendar for the last month and ask yourself a few questions. Is there anything you see on there that you spent time on that you think you shouldn't have? Was there anything that dragged you down? You see a meeting and it just like really drags you down. Was there anything that sucked up your time, energy, and attention and you don't think it should have? Or on the flip side of that, was there something that you see on your calendar last month that you feel you should be doing more of? Like you would have a better month this next month if you could do more of this thing you see on your calendar. The whole process only needs to take 5 or 10 minutes. It's more like initial reaction sort of thing, but it can really be helpful to see what things you want to do less of and what you want to do more of in the coming weeks and months. And if you can do this every single month and make those little bit of improvements through the month, it can really, really help you reshape the way you spend your time as you move your way through the year. Do any calendar reviews, Tan, as you look back at your previous month?
Yeah, I like to do it every single week, actually, every Sunday as part of my weekly planning. I reflect back on the past week. And then also when I do my monthly planning, I'll look back at the past month as well. So that's definitely a habit I find very helpful to kind of learn about, okay, what went well, what didn't go so well, what could I do better? And what are some of the major time sucks and how do I prevent that from happening? And even if you don't make any sort of like additions to how you use your calendar or how you plan your calendar going forward, but just eliminate all the time sucks, like that's a big win too. So I think it's such an easy habit to get into that it has tons of dividends over the years. So I encourage everyone to at least give it a try.
All right. So that is our bonus tip. Tan, what should somebody take out of this episode? If somebody wants to take some sort of action on one of the five tips or the bonus tip, what would you recommend they do next?
Well, as always, we want to make sure we keep things simple and actionable, right? That's what we're known for here at Asian Efficiency. And so if you made it this far, first of all, congratulations, you're awesome. But also second, based on the 5 calendar hacks that we've shared with you here today, we don't want you to implement all of them. We always recommend to just pick one, implement that, and then once you kind of got into the habit of that, then moving on to the next one, because that's the way you're going to maximize your effectiveness and how you're going to make new changes stick with you. So pick one of the 5 calendar hacks that we just talked about today and implement it. And is there anything that really stands out to you right away where you go, oh yeah, that's the one thing I need to do. Pick that one, start with that one. And then over time, refer back to this episode and check out the show notes for more links and resources that you can use. So you can find links to everything that we talked about in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/338. And like I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, I'm really excited for next week's episode, which is all about if we only had $100 to spend on productivity tools, what would we do? Well, if you want to find out, be sure to come back next week. Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.